This is Jonathan Pennywell with Rohe Christian Church. Just wanted to thank you guys for checking out our podcast. Hey, listen, we were very blessed to have Apostle Cal Cook from Golden Altar Ministries stop by and deliver a powerful message, and we pray that it blesses you. Now let's get started.
Well, praise God forevermore. We're certainly so glad to be in the house of God, to be with Pastor Shana. It's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with people. I'm a relational type of person. I love people. I love God's people particularly. And we are so honored to be in the house of God this morning. And God has so blessed my wife and I in so many ways. It's incredible what God has been doing in our lives. We haven't asked for anything. I try to teach people everywhere I go. The real prayer life is it, you don't get before God asking him for anything for you. If you know God and you've been in the secret place with him, you'll find after finally having a face-to-face encounter with God that he already got everything that you need already in the supply. And what we haven't learned how to access what our Heavenly Father has for us. And so it makes us feel like he's leaving us out, and we need to make sure he understands what I need, so I have to stay in his face about those things. But that really isn't, that's someone that doesn't know him. That's what that means. Because God never forgets. He's the one that downloaded who you are in you. So the very thoughts that you think, God placed those thoughts in your mind. He thought that he placed enough of himself in you to make you want to be with him. Somebody say amen to this. That's not my message. I don't know where I'm going. I had all kind of stuff that I was going to do, and I got all these notes, and I don't know where I'm basically going to go. And that's good for you. Then you can come fresh out of the oven. Amen. Somebody, you like fresh baked hot bread? Come on, somebody, with some. That's why I don't go to, my wife says, you want to go over to Red Lobster? I said, no, because after the fifth basket of biscuits, we need to move on from here. You know what I'm saying? So, no, we're not going over there. I don't particularly like the food, but those biscuits are, it must have some kind of narcotic in them or something, because... Once you have one of those biscuits, you have to, could you bring another basket of biscuits, please? They said, you've already had four baskets. I said, just bring another one. We're just trying them out. See if we like them. But praise God, Elder D and I, we just celebrated our 46th year anniversary. Amen. And so we are just... together, and she said, if I behave myself, she stay with me one more year. So we're going to be together at least another year. I think that's what she said. I'm not sure. She might change her mind. I'm not sure. Depending on how I'm acting. I'm a mess, so you need to understand that. Praise God. I want to talk to you. There's so many things in my spirit, because you're a young ministry in terms of your age group, and maybe I can help you walk into maturity, because you could be in the church for years and never become mature. Did you know that? Going to church does not automatically mean that you're mature for ministry. In other words, you could be in church and not yet be ready for ministry. But the issue here we need to understand is that church is not a place except to prepare you for ministry. It's an equipping center. One brother said it's a hospital. Well, the church can't be a hospital. Once you make it a hospital, then you end up around a bunch of sick folk. That's right, right. But when you make it an equipping center, you teach people how to handle the sick. Did you understand what I said? We're not negating the fact that we need to help the sick. But if all we do is have an emergency room, come on somebody, intensive care unit, then we'll never be able to equip the saints, because our whole meetings will be about the sick. Did you notice one thing I want to share with you? When you read the Old Testament canon, you find that in the scripture that everybody was known by their father's name. They would mention the man, and then they would mention his father. But you notice in the New Testament, everybody was known by their problem. The woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, the paralytic man. Everybody, the lepers. They didn't have a name in the New Testament. That's why Jesus comes back in Malachi and says this. He says, I'm going to return the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the fathers. Because what you see in the New Testament is a lack of fathers who had a name. And so people were named by their issues. And in the church today, people come in, what's that sister's name? Oh, that's the sister that's on welfare. Well, what about her? Oh, she's the one that have 8 kids that don't have no daddy. Well, what's her name? Oh, she's the one that, you know, she's getting hip replacement. She don't have no name. Nobody has a name. Everybody is known by their issue. I didn't hear nobody say nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants to give you back your name. God wants you to know how important it is for you to be identified. Come on. And have your identity intact. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's so important to him in terms of your growth. You know, there are stages of sonship. You know, when he says those who received him in 1 John, he gave them power to become, watch this, power to become sons of God. That word sons is baby. So when you receive Jesus, you don't come in as a mature. You come in as an infant. And infants don't talk. So when you get saved, you're not trying to get behind the pulpit. You're not trying to be seen because you still got your pampers on. Come on, somebody, say still got your pampers on. Come on, can you see having a baby and then say, baby, go on, take this mic and go and tell the people what you know about Jesus. Yeah, that's all you're going to get. And so it is with the baby Christian. You shouldn't be trying to say nothing to nobody because you don't know Jesus yet. You know Bo, but you don't know Jesus. Come on here. Amen. And then as you begin to grow, you become a napios. A napios in the Greek context is that you are a Christian, but you're immature in your thinking. You don't think like your father. You still think like a child. And it tells us in Galatians, as long as a son is a child, he is treated like a servant. And the father doesn't tell his servants what he's going to do. So you're just in the same place, and you don't have information coming from the father because he doesn't speak to children. When you see the scripture in Luke chapter 11, it says, if a son asks his father for an egg, would he give him a stone or a serpent? Yeah, did you read that? But if you look up the word for son, it's the full-grown son. Only the full-grown son has the capacity to ask for correct things. Now, you know that's true in the natural realm. You know, your little baby, daddy, can I drive? No, you can't drive. You can't even get up over the steering wheel. Your head's, you understand what I'm saying? So even in the things of God, God won't let you drive his car if you haven't grown to the stature of a driver. And he gives people in the church insight to know, not your natural stature, but where are you in terms of your spiritual growth and maturation. And you can't see that, so you can't self-appraise. You have to trust the one who's been given vision or oversight over you. Nobody controls you. The church doesn't have control. There's no such thing as anybody covering anybody. Human beings don't cover other human beings. I can show you this. I'm going to show you this today. God's the only one that can cover. But people must learn to be accountable to each other. Now, once you get past Napios, where you don't have God's mind about it, you still got your mind. Well, when they going to make room for me? I've been in the church 2 years now. They still haven't got me doing anything. When my turn? I can sing better than she can. God gave me a stronger word than that word. See, you still thinking about you and what you can do. You in Napios. You're not ready for kingdom responsibility. Are you tracking with me? And then you have what we call our Matthias, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S, which is a word that we get the word mathematics comes from. In other words, there are stages as you come into your growth where God will begin to add things to you, to your character, to your godliness, to your long-suffering, to your kindness, to your meekness, to your gentleness, but not human gentleness, but godly gentleness. So it's a God essence that you begin to understand and walk in. He said, then I'm going to have to subtract some things. You know, your racist thing, your thing against women being in the ministry. I'm going to have to remove some of those things from you so that when I send a spiritual leader to you, you don't try to make a woman that you can't follow. I didn't get no amens on that one. I'm going to go over on this side over here. I find it very interesting that if everything became new, amen, any man that be in Christ, and there's no male, female, Gentile, Jew, bond, slave, Syrian, or slave, then why now when it comes to a woman being ministry, now you eliminate her because of two scriptures in the Bible? It's a lie from Satan. Because when God calls someone to the pulpit, he don't call them male or female. He calls the new creation man. He calls a new creation man. And the new creation man may be in the form of male, or they may be in the form of female. But what you're recognizing isn't male or female. You're recognizing new creation. And it's out of that new creation factor that you're being taught by the Spirit of God. Not from the carnal realm, but from the realm of the Spirit. And so when you become a Matthias, now you've got some things taken away from you. Now watch this. You've been added to, taken away from. You're hearing it? It's subtracted, added. Then what's the next thing that happens? Now that you've had the proper things added to you and you've had the proper things taken from you, now I can give you a little bit, two loaves or two fishes, and now I can bring you into multiplication. But most of us are trying to get into multiplication, and we haven't had anything added, and we haven't had all that opinion we have about everything taken away from us. Because opinion is illegal in the kingdom. Because the kingdom is the kingdom of let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that the citizens be filled with spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. So in the kingdom of God, your opinion is rendered non-essential. You cannot have an opinion when you're in a kingdom of the living God because he knows everything. There's nothing God don't know. So you don't need to have an opinion. You need to have a revelation. Say, a revelation. Matter of fact, if you'll let me speak to you, opinion is evil because it comes out of your psuche. It comes out of your soulish realm. It comes out of your intellectual, or what you think you've assessed in your own cosmic reasoning of what things should be within the kingdom of God. The danger of this, you don't even know the king yet, and you're trying to make the kingdom the way you want it to be. It's quiet in here. It looks like I can hear a mouse walking on cotton. It's quiet in here this morning. All right. And so as we come to those stages, and we come to that Matthias, that mathematic equation that the Holy Spirit must work in you, then it's time for you to come into wehasia. Or the other term is he adopted us. In other words, he wehasied us, which means he placed us in his kingdom as a son. You were children of the disobedience, Satan's children. But then in Colossians, he translates you, verse 13, out of this kingdom of darkness into the, watch this, into what? He didn't translate you into the church. He didn't translate you into denomination. He didn't translate you into, he translated you into his kingdom. So the first thing that you need to understand is that you need to learn the culture of the kingdom and understand why Father brought you out of that place and brought you into his kingdom. And how are you going to modus operandi? How are you going to conduct yourself in the kingdom of a living God? Come on here. Come on here. There's a code of conduct. There's laws of operation in the kingdom. There's a culture that you need to come in contact with in your understanding. And so as you come into your growth as a son, he He said, now, those of you that are the sons or the wehas, or the those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. What did he just say there? He said a mouthful. You're no longer led by your opinion. You're no longer led by your emotions. You're no longer led by your intellect. And you're no longer led by your flesh. And you're no longer led by the world. He said, you're sons of God. That means you fully have grown up. The only thing you're being led by is by my Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that? There's not very many people who are pursuing maturity. It's easier to have an opinion. They say, baby, are we going to church? No, you know the game coming on, girl. You know why don't go when the game is on. What's wrong with you? Well, me and the kids going to go. Well, no, I'm going to need the car later on. You can't go. Go next Sunday. But this is a special day. Yeah, I know the game is coming on. What's wrong with you? Trying to mess up my man cave thing. Amen. That's what people do. That's immaturity. Come on, God can't give you the things of the kingdom because he knows if he gives it to you and you're immature, you'll trade it for a morsel of flesh like Esau did. You will trade your birthright in for a football game. By Christ, it's too late in the game to be playing games with Jesus. This world needs real Christians who are willing to grow up. It's quiet on real Christians. Amen. People get quiet, boy, when you start talking about growing up and everything, you know, but it's essential. Jesus went through the same process. He was a child. He got circumcised on the eighth day. He had to be circumcised to come into covenant with the Heavenly Father. He had to be, you know, when the babies were born in that day, they had to be rubbed with salt. They rubbed the afterbirth off of them with salt, which salt is the preserving. But everything God did in offerings, every time there was an offering given, salt was poured on the offering. Salt means that preservation of life. Because you sacrificed this animal, I'm going to give you 1 year of life. It's going to preserve you for another. Because they didn't have Jesus yet. So the animals only would cover them for a year or the next time they transgressed. And they would rub that salt on that baby. So when that baby came forth, that baby would be a covenant baby. And God would promise to preserve its life. You hear what I'm saying? He said, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You hear that? You're the preserving agent. That's why you have to become mature. He planted you here because he needed you to grow up like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You hear that? So that you could have a fruit for the generation that needs something real from God. He wanted your life to be an expression of his life. The whole reason that you got born again was so he could give you his life so you could express it to those who don't have life. Amen. Each one of us is the logos of God. Jesus was the logos of God. And God sent the logos of God to the earth to reveal Rhema, to reveal the person of God. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the one who sent me. And that's what's supposed to happen with you. When you go into your neighborhood, when you go on your job, when you go to get your nails done, when you go to get your weave extended, whatever you do, come on here. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be expressing the life of God, not your color, not your political bend. That has nothing to do with your assignment. You grieve God when you get over there in the world's arena and you won't even take care of the kingdom arena. You understand that? How grieved Father is about our political opinions? Talking about the president like he's an animal? And God set him there for a reason? To get the church on their knees. Whenever God moves people into a place, he has a reasoning for doing that. There's something the church is not doing. So he flips a script in the natural realm to get you to do what he needs you to do to change the atmosphere, to change the situation. So you start legislating and bringing forth the will of God in the earth by your prayer life and by your maturity in God. And you begin to have a real expression of God in your life. And people say, where's that man been around? Who's he been with? I feel Jesus when I get around him. Why? Because you're expressing the life of God because you've grown up and become mature. Amen. I remember one time we were in India. Amen. Nobody. One thing about me, if you don't amen me, I'll amen myself. In this bad boy. I haven't even started preaching yet. I'm going to preach in a minute. You better stop it. Here we go. I was in India, and something was said that made them mad, and so they were chasing us. So we made it back to the hotel, and everybody was up on the edge because we knew that they had promised they're going to come get us. And so I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation that far away from home. And one of the guy's wife calls and says, she shouldn't have done this, but she did. It's too late to call it back. But she said, honey, I saw the hotel on fire. I said, oh, God, here we are. Instead of telling you we're going to be all right and, you know, everything's fine, she sees fire and us burning up in the fire in the hotel. Now, that messed me up. I said, oh, Lord. I'm up in the bed praying in all kind of tongues I never heard before. All night in the Indian stance. Looked like I was doing yoga up in there. Come on here. Now watch this. Watch this. So we're in this situation, and we need God's help. And we're 10,000 miles from help. You hear what I'm saying? And we need God. And somebody's got to hear from God through all this fear. And somebody got to be mature. Because God don't speak to the immature. He only speaks to the part of him that's like him. Listen to me. That's why he born you again, to make you like him. He don't answer emotional prayers. He only answers spiritual prayers. You could have a great need, but be in your flesh, he's not answering. It's a spiritual coding system. He listens to hear something that's in his frequency. And when it's in his frequency, he says yes and amen. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are in that frequency, a yes, and in that frequency, they're amen. That's my frequency, Christ Jesus. See, when you've been in Christed, or God's placed every one of you in Christ, that means you've been in Christed and you're no longer an American citizen just being American citizens. Now you're a citizen of heaven. And now because you've been in Christed, the angels have been put on alert to hear something mature coming from you. And when they hear the maturity of the Son, they come and hearken unto the word of his command. And those who excel in strength begin to come and help you do things that you can't do. Most of us are stuck trying to do things ourselves because we don't have no heavenly help, because we are still speaking immaturely. I can't do this. I'm always going to be poor. I'm never going to have nothing. I'm going to die a widow. I'm going to die old maid. Ain't nobody looking at me. Well, fix yourself up so somebody will look at you. Are we here today? Amen. So what happened was, out of our fear, we were in the hotel, and the Spirit of the Lord says, I want you to do something. I said, what? He said, everybody in this hotel is not saved. I said, Lord, we trying to run now, Jesus. We're going to have to do the salvation thing later. You hear what I'm saying? I don't know if you've ever been in danger. It's not an easy thing. Because they pin one pastor against the wall. And what made this so difficult was that they had just poured gasoline on a brother from Australia and his two children and burned them alive before we got there. So when they said they was going to get us, the first thing I smelled was barbecue. 6'2", 210-pound black man burning, just burning, flaming. I said, oh, no. So my stomach went up into my throat. And he says, the people in this hotel don't know me. Now, watch this. I'm going to show you what I mean about things. And so I said, I told the manager, get all your employees to come into our hotel room. So they all came in there. Now, watch this. I said, now, look, I'm in a tribal area back where there's no police, just tribal chieftains. Now, watch this. And I said, hey, you know, I'm scared now. I'm trying to talk with my heart in my throat. I'm just trying to talk. And I said, hey, we come all the way this way to tell you about Jesus. And when we said Jesus, they began to weep. That's when I know that we don't know what we got here in America. They never heard his name before. They never heard the name. The name of Jesus is powerful except in America. I noticed that. All of them got saved except for the manager. They got saved while we were running. Amen. It was powerful. I never seen anything like that. We just said Jesus. They said, I said, my goodness, that name is powerful. But when we say Jesus, they said, oh, you know, the man upstairs, OJC. Mm-hmm. God, I'm needing you to do something for me because, you know my rent getting ready to come due. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been looking at them shoes over there at Nordstrom's. Mm-hmm. Move, Holy Spirit, move. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What we've done is we made our relationship with God personal rather than international. See, God saved you for the world he died for. God so loved the world. So your whole life is for the world and not for you. That's why you have to come into maturity and your prayer life changes. My wife and I, all these years of salvation, we've never prayed for ourselves. Give us this, and we need a car. We have never had to do that because I learned that the key to prosperity is other people. If you make something good happen for someone else, God always makes the same thing or better happen for you. Our whole life has been intercession for other people. And God has blessed our socks off our feet. I've never said, God, I need some money. Except for maybe for the church, if we wanted to do something. I never said, oh, me and D, we like to have. We never had to do that, body of Christ. We never grabbed hands and, okay, let's pray, you know. We don't do that for some stuff for me. I don't need to do that. Y'all better hear me. Because you can't be selfish and say you're in Christ. I know they got all kind of prayer doctrines in America. Oh, if two of you touch and agree about anything. I went down to the place, to the Volvo dealer with one of my pastor friends. He says, I need to go down to the Volvo dealer. I said, you getting ready to get the car? I said, I sure am. He went down there and laid hands on the car. I said, Father, I command this car is mine. And the salesman came out and says, you want to get that car? He said, yeah, wrap it up. It's mine. He said, well, are you ready to make? He said, I don't have to make no payments. God gave me this car by faith. He said, I need something better than faith up in here. I need me a money, a credit card, something up in here, because faith ain't buying this car. I turned red, also embarrassed. I thought he had some money. Now, you know, if I turn red, we done this up in here. He going to lay hands on the car. I speak faith. I said, boy, stop. You got to have some money in Silicon Valley. Come on, you have to have a job over here. Come on, something. That's not faith, body of Christ. Faith is trusting the cross. And that your redemption is here. That we don't live, we don't go around talking about we sinners saved by grace. We live in a redeemed community. We've been redeemed by the blood. He bought us out of sin. He brought us, and every time we fall because we've been made righteous, we get back up on our feet just like we never fail. Nobody a sinner saved by no grace. That's so stupid. It's stupid because you're saying you're a sinner and then you're saying you're saved. You can't be both of them. Some of the greatest preachers in the world. You know, we just all sinners. Saved by grace. We just tiptoeing on our journey. Oh, God. Stop all that nonsense. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Let me say so. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. When I come nigh to the throne room, I come nigh by the blood of Jesus. I'm saved to the bone. You hear what I'm saying? You can't be a little pregnant and you can't be a little saved. You're either saved or you're not saved. Amen. We saved up in here. Amen. Can I talk to you a little bit more? I just haven't been able to get on my notes. I guess they're not worthy because I can't go to them. But we're talking about the presentation of a mature church is the only church that God will allow that uses power. That's why so many of us are still sick and disappointed in prayer and the prayer line and healing, because God won't use you to release his ultimate power if you haven't come into full maturity. Because if he gives it to a baby or to a novice, the first thing they do is print some cards up, draw all the attention to themselves, and talk about my ministry. Get on TV and try to sell you their anointing, little half-done, overused anointings on television. See, what the television has done is told you its vision and didn't tell you the vision of heaven. That's why they call it television. Are you tracking with me here today? Amen. It takes away the vision of what the scriptures are saying, and it presents a false vision because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan runs everything that's happening on television, and even some of the Christian networking is satanically being influenced. Because the Bible says, even in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that Satan can present himself as an angel of light, and even his ministers can transform. He says his ministers can transform into light. Lord Jesus. That means many of our ministers behind the pulpit are satanically assigned to get the church off balance with false doctrine, to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's why you have to be equipped so you can't be tossed. If you weigh enough, the wind won't move you. But if you don't have enough word, every time something do come down the line, oh, I'm going over there, boy. They got a new river. They got another prophet. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to run over there. And he go running over there, get you another word. And haven't been faithful to where you've been. Lord have mercy. Let me get back over here. Haven't been faithful. Can I finish this thing? Thank you. I take that as a yes. I interpret it. Yes, I interpret it. Yeah, there it is. I preached so good the baby started crying. Praise God. That's a sign right there. See, if you don't, listen carefully, if you don't grow up right, you'll leave wrong. And if the foundation isn't built correctly, then when the storm comes, or when the trial of your ministry comes, or when the tribulation comes, or when the fiery trial, you won't be able to represent yourself in a standing position, because up under you is a place where you haven't been divinely authorized to stand. Every person must have divine authorization to be able to operate in maturity. And if you haven't been authorized by the head, then you're operating illegally. And from that place of illegality, Jesus won't respond, neither will his angels, to anything that's out of kingdom order. It may go for a moment, but it'll fizzle out because there's no divine authorization. And without the divine authorization, you don't have angels to come to help you establish what you say God told you to do. You end up sweating BBs trying to make it work. I had this one man, he was on television telling about, well, you know, he was talking about Elohims and that we're all little gods and all of us are little gods. And so I said to him, if we're little gods, listen carefully, make me one BB with your bad God being self. I said, I'll wait for it. Come on, where's the BB at? No BB? You ain't God. People around here acting like they are God and all this holy God extra. Ain't nobody got no extra anointing. When God anointed, he anointed equally. Y'all not hearing me. And the anointing is only given or increased according to the assignment that you have. So everybody's anointing is given to them for the assignment that Father God has given you. And if you get an increase in anointing, that means he's increased your assignment. But you can't get no anointing off the television from someone you don't have relationship with. That's a lie. I feel the Lord right now. Every one of you in the TV audience right now, oh, there it is. I feel it. Oh, yes, God. Oh, hallelujah. The anointing's on my hands right now. Oh, there it is. If you'll write me right now, if you'll write me, and went, by the way, while you're writing, write out a check. Now, where do you find Jesus, in this Bible, asking people for money for the power that he carried? For the message that he carried, for the anointing that he carried, for the life that he carried. Not one time does the master ask anybody to give him anything. And yet today, all over Christendom, shysters and shanksters and pimps are getting the money from God's people. And they're so foolish to think that they could take a shortcut rather than grow up through those stages of growth and get something that they won't be able to handle. It'll be like a wild horse up under you, bucking you off and bucking you on, because you didn't wait to grow up and get divine authorization to operate in the ministry that God called you to. And one of the things God did that blew me away is that he said that the love of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about the love of God coming to fullness, surpassing all intelligence. Watch this. He said that the height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of God surpasses all understanding. Did you hear that? What do you mean there's a love that passes understanding? Which understanding works this way. You understand, you have something to stand under. That means now you have a shelter from heaven that will keep you in all of your ways as long as you understand. So when God gives you godly understanding, that means he has given you an assignment that he will cover you until your assignment is completed. But if you have a child, when I thought like a child, I didn't get no understanding, so God can't cover your childish ways. You have to stand under governors and tutors until the time of the Father, which is the time of your understanding. And when you get an understanding, he says, get an understanding. And all you're getting, get something to stand under. See, it works this way, too. If the enemy comes this way, it shifts this way and now blocks your ears. Oh, he's coming on this side. He blocked. Oh, he's coming behind you. What you understand will keep you. But if you don't have understanding, then you're naked and exposed to everything Satan wants to come at you with. I've had many men come to me, I'm ready to go. I said, you're not ready. They said, why are you trying to hold me back? I said, because you said you were ready. I ran a drug center for a year, and I'd have drug addicts there, cokeheads, crackheads, crystal meth, heroin addicts, alcoholics, and they would stay with me for 1 year. And at the end of the year, they would come to me and say, Pastor, at that time I was pastoring, I feel that I'm strong now. I said, yeah, you're strong, because I didn't feed you vegetables and steak and, you know, and popcorn and everything. And some greens every now and again. Every now and again, I throw a hock up in there just for, you know, for the taste. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're strong. He said, I think I can go on my own. I said, go back to the barracks. And they were getting, what you tell me, I'm leaving the home. I said, go on and leave. Nobody has to stay here that don't want to be here. Same thing with my church. You don't have to stay here. I'm the leader. I ain't changing. If anybody gonna go somewhere, it's gonna be you. Come on here. Come on, we ain't working hard like this just for you. This is for the kingdom. This is bigger than me and you. This generation is waiting on somebody that don't hate homosexuals. Somebody that's not talking behind people's back and fall in love with this generation and weep for them at night. God's waiting on the people to grow up. It's not about you. Too many people out there don't know God. It's not about you and how you feel. Well, one sister said, she wrote me a letter. She said, well, we're leaving the ministry because the chairs are too hard, the air conditioning doesn't work all the time, and the services are too long. I said, then go on with your bad self. And take Jesus with you. And them $2 offerings, take them too. What happened? Several years later, at least five, they come knocking on my door. Call me on the phone. We want to meet with you. I said, oh, Lord. I don't want to go back to the past. Jesus, save me, Jesus. So they show up at the office. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, God. I'm praying in tongues. They say, Pastor, we've been thinking. I said, oh, Lord, that's when we usually get up in trouble here. And so they gave me $20,000. They said, we're sorry. You know when they gave me $20,000, you know what I did, don't you? Mashed potatoes. I did a slide back. Yeah. Happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus walked. I was singing. I'm a sinner. See, you don't have to really bother with people. Let the Holy Ghost do it. Let him do it. Man, he did it real good. And most people, when they come, they don't give us offerings. They give offerings to the church. But this had my name on it. Amen. Amen. I was happy till I had to pay taxes on it, Lord Jesus. That federal government, man, they don't care who you are. Because they have to report it. Part of the integrity of the Holy Ghost. You have to report it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, let me take you somewhere as we get ready to round. Where am I at? Yeah, let me get ready to bring this thing to a place. I want to show you that the love of God, the height, depth, width, breadth, and the length of it, the what we call the love intelligence. So once you mature, now God gives you the right to operate out of his intelligence. The intelligence that caused him to send his son to die for your sin, that love. And when you have that in your heart, you have the Father's heart. Now when you pray, he can't help but answer the prayer because it's a prayer of his own heart. And he knows that you're operating out of love intelligence. See, most of the human love says, well, I'm going to stay with her, but if she gain weight, I'm out of here. Well, if you give a woman 4 or 5 babies, she's going to gain weight, Bucky. Come on, man, wake up here. Lord Jesus. What about that thing hanging up over your belt line? What are we going to do about that thing there? We know you ain't pregnant. What's that all about? Remember that song, What's It All About, Alfie? Come on here. And so when nobody can escape the intelligence of love. And once love is released, it creates an immune system. That now that you've come to love intelligence, listen carefully. Once you come to love intelligence, now when gossip or talebearing or evil comes, you're immune against that. It can't get into you because you have an immune system of love. And anything that's contrary to love can't get past your immune. Just like a virus can't get. I haven't had a cold in 23 years or flu. Don't take no shots, won't take no shots. Why? I built up my immune system. The love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts is supposed to increase our ability to withstand anything that's contrary to love, that's outside of us. And it builds our immune system. So when people come and say, I don't think we should be talking about that. Well, I think the pastor, no. Let me get the pastor, then tell me what. Let the pastor be here if you're going to talk about the pastor. In other words, you don't go to Starbucks talking about, girl, you know, did you see with the pastor hat on? Mm-hmm. Looking like it was a little tight to me this weekend. Mm-hmm. The message was kind of tight, too. Mm-hmm. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. How dare you? No, just kidding. People go around coffee. I don't know if there's something in the coffee that makes you run your mouth. I don't know what it is. Did they put something in Starbucks? What they putting in the coffee around here? Gossip pills or something. I don't know. I find that you can't follow someone that you talk about. And I found that you can't pray for someone. That's why I don't talk about your kids and don't talk about. Because if you're talking about them, God won't receive your intercession on their behalf. You got to make up your mind. You're going to be the intercessor or you're going to be the accuser. You can't take both roles. Now, let's see which one you're going to put up for me. I gave you something to put up. I just want to show you something here. I hope it's that one I want. And so, what? Not that one. Please, Jesus. Scared me. My God. Amen. All right, I'll give you the time. Yeah, I put some things on so you can see what I believe Holy Spirit wants me to leave with you before I go. That will help you understand how important it is for the hour that the church is in for you to commit to yourself, to the leadership, for spiritual growth and maturation. You could be old and not be mature. Amen. I grew up in a church of 5,000, 6,000 people. Let me tell you something. Most of them were not mature. They were babies. The 20 years I spent with them, I've been with our church now 17 years, so that's 37 years of watching people. And I found that most of the saints are still praying. When I was in prison, I got to tell you this, I didn't know no better. And so I'm down there. I'm in there with Charles Manson, David Kemper, Juan Corona, and I'm scared. Now, I'm on the weight pile because I'm trying to keep, you know, I think if they see my muscles, I had muscles on my lips. Come on, body of Christ. I was trying to pumping weight. Come on here. I thought if they could see my muscles, they wouldn't bother with me. Y'all not hearing this thing. You hear what I'm saying? But I noticed something that we talked about freedom, but we were behind the cell. So nobody that's bound can set anybody free. Come on here. I said, come on here. That's why I tell people, don't lay hands on anybody suddenly and you're still in bondage. Keep your hands off me. I got my own problems. I don't need your problem and mine. You need to be free from something. Now, I have this up here. Oh, it disappeared. Oh, my God. Okay. Now, the reason I want you to see this is because this is one of the stanchions, one of the boards in the tabernacle of Moses. It's wood overlaid with gold. Humanity covered with divinity. That's you and me. Now, we need to be jointly fitted together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need to be, and we don't do that very well. We're not jointly fitted together. We come to church, some of us on the first Sunday and the third, but never every Sunday. Some of us pick which Sunday, because we think, well, this Sunday is my family day. What? What? Come on, where you go? You born again now. You got a different family. Matter of fact, if your family finds you being faithful to God, they'll come over into the things of God. If they see you compromising the way you've been doing it, they say, what's the sense of being a Christian? You're not faithful. Must not be have anything of any value. Somebody say amen. Now watch this, watch this. And so what we see here, this is Noah's Ark. And I'm going to show you that each board is a type and representation of Noah's Ark. Why did I say that? Watch this. In Noah's Ark, God left a door open for the sinner to come in. On the boards, he punched a hole in the center of the board so that mercy could come in to the life of the believer. So we see that in our quest of God in maturity, we're only going forward because of the cross and because of his mercy. So no matter how much you think you know, don't forget the cross, and don't forget the blood, and don't forget the mercy. That's why he was wounded on his side, so mercy could come forth and be your salvation. Are you listening to this? Now watch this. Give me the next one, please. Now this is the tabernacle boards side by side. Each board is on two stanchions of silver. Each one of these stanchions weighs 125 pounds. This, the metal of redemption, is silver. This stands for the blood of Jesus. So each believer is standing on the blood of Jesus as his salvation, covered by the anointing, the gold, over his humanity. So the humanity, even though it's weak and it's not fit for the journey, he covers it with himself, places you in his redemption, and it wants you to stand next to your brothers, fitly join it together. And your sisters, join it together. Join it together. Jointly fit it together. You see no separations in the boards. Should be no separation in your church going. Should be no separation in your growth and development. You ought to all be hungry for the things of God. You ought to all be faithful. You were on your way to hell and Jesus came and he showed his mercy to you and saved you from the pit of destruction, and you have forgotten your salvation, and you forgot what Jesus has done for you, and you've gotten lazy and indifferent, and apathy have set in, and now you come when you want to rather than when you've been assigned to come. Now watch this. You got these five stanchions. Evangelist, prophet, teacher, but you have the apostolic pole going down the middle where the womb was, which means the apostolic ministry doesn't touch the goal, it touches the humanity of the believer. He's the father ministry. Show that next one, please. Is that it? You see how they're standing side by side and how the center pole is the only one touching the wood inside? That's apostolic ministry. You never see apostle on top with his name in the papers and people following and bowing down. You see him foundation. You can't even find the apostle because he's under the foundation of the church. He doesn't have a hierarchy. He's not out trying to be the head man. He's trying to bring the team together to bring maturity to the body of Christ so they can do the works of ministry. That's how this thing works. Give the Lord a praise offering. Now, I didn't bring the other one of the full tabernacle, but what I wanted to show you. Did I bring another one? There should be one more. Bingo. No? I didn't do it? Shame on me. Because what it was going to be, it was going to all the boards together shaping the tabernacle. And the thing you need to understand, people talking about, well, you need a covering. Somebody's going to be your covering. Listen to me, by Christ. No man can cover you. Husbands can't even cover their wives. It takes the Holy Spirit. That's why it says in Isaiah chapter 30, woe unto you who cover yourselves other than the covering of my spirit, saith the Lord. Go down to Egypt with the horse and the chariot and bring shame upon yourself by getting the covering of man and flesh. Watch this. So what's this covering all about? If you'll study, maybe next time I come, I can show you the tabernacle. God never covered anything until it was connected. He didn't put one covering on that tabernacle till every board, every life, every person was connected together. Then he covered it. First he covered it with angels. Then he covered it with his righteousness. Then he covered it with his badger skin. And then he covered it with the life of Christ. Then above the covering, listen, was the Shekinah glory by cloud and the Shekinah glory by fire. And those are the coverings that God gives man. But not one time did a man ever cover another man. Men are accountable to each other. We are accountable to each other. I'm accountable to men that are over me, and I'm accountable for a lot of men that work alongside me. I'm never over anyone. Just like my hand here. This is the apostle, prophet, evangelist. Watch this. They can't touch each other's head, but the apostle can touch all the heads of all the other men. Now watch this. He can also cover them, but never be in charge, just to protect. I've been walking as an apostle for years, but I wasn't interested in titles. And then finally, some gentlemen that I've been ministering with, they said, hey, it's time for you to come out of the closet. And when first I came out, they said, what you calling yourself an apostle for? Why you want this title? I said, why you calling yourself a pastor? They said, what's with this apostolic? I said, what's with this pastoral and evangelistic? You don't have no trouble with that. But I got to tell you something. The pastor's only mentioned one time in the New Testament. Apostles mentioned many, many times. So what you talking about? See, people are afraid to change and come into divine order. My job in these last days is to bring the church back into the proper pattern so Father can pour out the blessing that he intends for the church to have. So you won't walk around talking about, well, my knees ain't get. I'm barely, I'm going to have to move out the area because I can't even buy a house. Listen to them. We're not moving. We're getting houses here. We're not going nowhere. My Father set me here. He'll take care of me here. If I need some more paper, my Father will make some more paper. Whatever I need, my Father will create for me so I have what I have to have to be able to be his son in this area. Are you tracking with me? I ain't moving nowhere. I'm going to prosper right here. So he said, well, I got to go. I'm going to Tracy. I'm going to try to drive back and forth past the 2 trips from Tracy. You ain't coming back no more. I ain't gonna see you. God wants us to live out of kingdom realities. And the first thing he says is that, and it was the 4th chapter, verse 23. The people of God had come into captivity, and God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But in this particular verse, he says something that really caught my attention. He says, let my son go. He's talking about a people. He looked at the whole corporate body of Christ as a son. He says, let my people go, which means he doesn't want any of you to be in bondage. He wants Pharaoh or Egypt or Satan to let you go. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a praise in the house this morning. Come on, don't patty cake. Hallelujah. Come on, you know, come on. Don't patty cake, body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's time for us to prosper. It's time for us to advance. It's time for us to mature. Amen. Time for us to grow up. We were on Prayer Mountain yesterday, and I had been praying for my boys. I got three sons, and they had went away from the Lord. And one day, some of them went away, away. And so I decided that they were going to be, if I ever had any time, that I was going to put some prayers up on their behalf. Normally, I just move on in other things. I said, but no, I'm going to pray. And so God began to move. Next thing I know, my son was back in church. Next thing I know, my son was back in discipleship. Next thing I know, my son's up on Prayer Mountain with me yesterday. Next thing I know, during prayer, the Spirit of God fell on him, baptized him in the Holy Ghost. And so I'm seeing what God is doing. If we just do what he assigned us to do, he's faithful. He's not slack concerning any of his promises. And he wants to do more for you than your mind can imagine. So he wants you to take his yoke, which is the kingdom yoke, and learn of me. You can't learn of God intellectually. He said, because I'm lowly and I'm meek. So you got to get down on your knees to find Jesus. Did you hear that? He's in a low place. Learn of me. My ways are meek. So God's not demonstrating himself to be the best teacher or the strongest gift, but he's demonstrating himself to the church as being a lowly servant that thought it was equal to be, you know, equal with God, but took on the form, metamorpho. He changed his form because he knew that his father didn't need a son. He needed a servant that would serve the cross to save mankind. So his son took on the form. Now think about this, body of Christ. I fell off the stage last time I was here. But I landed on my feet because I'm like a cat. I have the agility of a leper. Whoops. Be careful. If you've ever seen a butterfly come out of a cocoon, one of the things that amazes me is that when it starts flying, it doesn't remember that it ever was a worm. So you can tell that you've come into transformation when you stop talking about your old life. The butterfly just says he's all caught up in the newness. He's off the ground. You seen him. Some of the monarchs are beautiful. When I lived in Japan, they probably have the largest insects in the world. I don't know if you know that. I lived there 7 years, and I seen the biggest bugs. They have a bumblebee, this is the truth, in Japan, that's about that big. He's jet black with a yellow spot on his belly. And when he comes around the corner, he sounds like a jet. I said, Lord, have mercy. But he doesn't hurt anything because the only thing he has on his mind is pollinating. You can't get him off his assignment no matter what you do. You can shoo him away, he'll get right back on the flower. You can push him, he'll come right back. His DNA is to pollinate. Body of Christ, your DNA is to be in the image and the stature and the likeness of the Son of God. Don't let anybody get in your way. Don't let anybody sidetrack you. And when you get up out that cocoon, don't go back and be a worm. Psalms 22 says it this way. Verse 5 says, and I am a worm. This is Jesus, because it's the same thing. He says, Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me? And here he is in Psalms 22 saying he's a worm. So I had to look that up. It's the word tola worm. What's a tola worm? A tola worm is a scrub worm that they gather and they get them in these big vats. And when they get them in the vat, they grind them, and they dye the king's robe with that dye because it's blood red. So what Jesus said in Psalms 22, he says, I'm a worm, and my blood is going to make you royalty. I died so you don't have to be slaves anymore, but you'll be royalty. So quit talking like a slave and acting like a slave and say, well, nobody, I don't have, no, I have everything, my father. I may not see it now, but my daddy's not a liar. Hallelujah. I've been so sick in this body. Well, I said, I might as well die if I'm going to be sick like this. This is not life. God said, why are you talking like that? I said, because I'm stupid. Sometimes you just go stupid for a moment. Amen. I begin to agree what the word says about me. Come on, body of Christ. He come to give me life. He'll satisfy me with long life. And that's what I have. Amen. You have what you say you have. It's not no game. His word is spirit and it's life. Come to give you life. He come to give you the life you couldn't get on your own. He come to give that to you. It's not suke life. It's a God kind of life. It's a Zoe life. I come to give you a Zoe type of life. I come to give you the life that you weren't able to get on your own. There's nothing too difficult for me. If you'll mature up, you don't have to be the greatest, but you must get your mind renewed till you're no longer a worm. You're no longer saying you're unworthy. We know you're not worthy, but he made you the righteousness of God. He made you to be the righteousness of God. He looked past your faults to meet your needs. He knows your ups and your downs. He knows your thoughts before you speak. He knows your yesterday and your tomorrow, but he also knows your future. He gone before you. He declares the end of your life from the very beginning of your life. Hallelujah. He's the first, the last, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What does that mean? That means nothing is catching your father by surprise. He knows everything about you. He knows your tomorrow. He knows you're going to face some tribulations. He said, but do not be afraid, for I have overcome. In this world, in this arrangement, in this system, there's going to be turmoil and troubles. He said, but don't panic, because I've taken this world and I've turned it upside down so that you can stand upside right in your walking before me. So you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. The key here is to grow up. Don't be afraid to grow. Don't be afraid to submit. Don't be afraid of the teaching. Don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid that you're going to lose some time if you submit. No, God always gives you enough time to do what he wants you to do. You'll never run out of time for the will of God. Father, I declare in this house the spirit of maturation, a spirit, Lord, that will permeate not one member, but everyone will have a teachable spirit. I declare classrooms full. I declare, Lord, no more suspicion of the teaching and no more gender prejudice, Heavenly Father, that there would be a people that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this house. God, I thank you that there's a shifting from not enough to more than enough. I believe, Lord God, today that you're moving supernaturally under the sound of my voice in the hearts of every believer in this building that has gone through affliction, that has gone through the furnaces of fire, that have gone through difficulties, that have gone through heartbreak, that have gone through times of lack and not having enough to get by, times of shame and disgrace. But today there's going to be a turnaround, and I see a turnaround happening in the spirit. There's going to be a reversal, and there's a reversal happening in the spirit, and there's going to be a releasing of provision that has never been released before in this house. And you will not scuffle to find out what we'll do and how to get here, but there'll be an ample supply given unto this house, because there is a true son in this house. And there's a true daughter in this house. And there are true people in this house that I've come that I might show myself strong on their behalf, that they might walk as a model, as a pattern of my glory and of my power and of my maturity. And as they walk in that realm of maturity, I will release my realm of the heavens into this earth. And you will say, I wonder what's happening over at Rohi. And the answer will be, I have released my power and my glory. I've released, hallelujah, my provision. I've released my ability. I've released my mind. I release my love, and there's a love intelligence that the people are walking in, and there's a fulfillment of my glory in this house, and they will never be the same again, and the enemy will have to let go of everything that don't belong to him in the name. Come on, somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 When we bind and when we loose, we're all we're doing is saying, whatever is legal in heaven, I declare in this church, it be legal here. And whatever is not illegal in heaven that's in this church can no longer operate in this church. We legislate from our place in him, seated in him in heavenly places, not seated in the circumstances, but seated in him, we begin to legislate my health, my marriage, my home, my grandchildren. I call my children disciples, taught of the Lord, of great composure and undisturbed peace. I call my children's tongues like that of the pen of a ready writer. I declare that my husband is that man planted by the rivers of water. I declare that my husband won't sit nor stand. Come on, nobody, Christ. You begin to talk the life you want to have. You find it in the Word of God, and the Word of God is life. And as you begin to declare and decree what you want from the Word, it will begin to manifest. And you'll say, people say, what happened to you? I thought you was driving that little bucket. He said, I traded the bucket in. Come on, somebody, for a rocket. Come on, somebody, say amen. Come on. Is God interested in you having something? Every aspect of your life, Father's interested in it. Every aspect of your life. Every essential aspect of your life. Hallelujah. Father, please release us now from me. I can't say anything else. I'm going to turn it back over.
Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, come on, if you receive that word, I want you to give God a praise. Tell him I receive that word, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to put some steps here so you can stop jumping off our stages and freaking your wife out. She's about to make sure you have steps up front next time so you don't have to jump off no more. Listen, I hear a call in that message for us to grow up. It's a call to grow up. It's no different than what we've been talking about. We've been talking about moving in excellence, maturing, growing up. I believe each of you got a word for what you need to be doing to start growing up and maturing in your walk with Christ. Here's what I need you to do at this moment. I need you to just say yes. Say, Lord, yes. 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 Yes, God. We will respond with an absolute yes, not just with our mouth, but with our actions. We say yes.
Pastor, stand right there. There it is right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just saw a shield come round about you. A gold shield. And it's a shield that doesn't have an opening. It doesn't have a seal. It came from the top over you to cover you, to cover you in this day ahead. For God says, I'm going to order you into areas, as I told the man of God and Joshua, that you're going to go somewhere where you've never been in my spirit before. It's essential that I take you there so you can lead others that are mature enough to follow you in this journey. I say to you that I'm expanding your understanding. It isn't that it hasn't been a good understanding, but whenever I'm moving you in different dimensions of this Christian walk, I must expand you so that you won't be afraid of what you don't understand, but you will embrace it until I bring clarity and understanding to you. I say to you that what's been difficult will now be easy. It will be what's challenged you will now make you stronger. And what you're afraid of, which is very little, but I will help you conquer even the fear that you have. I say to you, my daughter, there's no words that I could tell you how proud I am of your effort to make me look good in the earth realm. I'm going to equip you even with a greater measure of revealing me to your people than you've ever had before. And as you preach and as you release the anointing and the calling and the giftings and the graces that I placed upon you, you will see that you are duplicating yourself in the midst of my kingdom. And for that, there shall be great rewards, saith the Lord. For even in this season, I know I've seen you struggle and even times say, I wonder why I'm even attempting to do this. But I say to you, I have given you the strength to finish your race. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And finish it you shall, saith the Lord. I'm going to bring those who will encourage you and speak words of faith and destiny into you. And you will be strengthened for the days ahead, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Receive that word, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't even know how to close after that. So let me just do the benediction and bless you. Thank you, God.
Amen. Let me just close us in prayer. Thank you, Pastor Kyle. Thank you, Elder D, for being here. Lord, we thank you for this anointed time today, oh God. We thank you for the blessing of hearing from this man of God. We thank you for the words of prophecy that have gone forth today, God. I pray, Lord, that we would be good stewards of the word today, that we would take it, that we would steward it, that we would let it grow up in us, oh God. I pray for a spirit of maturity over us, God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word, Lord. Bless your people as they leave today, oh God. Bless each one to take this word with them, oh God. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the blessing of your presence. As we go from this place, God, but not from your presence, help us to join together in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed this afternoon.